Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church, and I just absolutely love, love doing this every week. Imagine I get a chance to be with these leading edge people every single week and take a deep dive into their ideas, into their insights, and I get to be with the super special people who are part of the conversation, who are listening. And it's just a joy to see people listening, sharing the show with their friends, getting inspiration from it, and taking action. And so I make a few requests of you at the start of each show, one of which is to listen actively. And active listening means listening with a writing implement at hand. You can make notes on your device, you can make notes on a notepad, but you want to take those notes and focus on the important life lessons you can derive from today's episode. It's so worth sitting there in an audience and really absorbing the ideas. And I also often will interrupt our flow of our program and give you a little exercise about how to turn what our speaker has said into practical application in your life. So you'll know if you're a regular listener that you will be challenged often during the course of the show to take notes and also turn these ideas into insights you can apply in your own life. So please listen actively. Have that writing implement close at hand, whether that's your finger or a pen. And the second thing I want to ask you to do is share the show with others. Let other people know about High Energy Health. Send them links to episodes that can help them. I had a friend recently who was really going through a deep depression. I was able to send her some links that made a huge difference in her life. They really helped her rescue herself from the despair into which she was sinking. So you never know when your act of kindness like that will make a big difference in somebody's life. Share links to the show with people you know. Share them on your social media channels. Let the world know. Let people in your life who are suffering know that there are these wonderful solutions right there and available to them now. And thanks for being part of this High Energy Health community and filling your mind with all of the brilliant ideas and deep insights you get on this show. You're going to so enjoy connecting today with my friend and brilliant human being, Dr. Helen A. Wabe. She is the Director of Research at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. That website is noetic.org, N-O-E-T-I-C, noetic.org. She's also an adjunct assistant professor at Oregon Health and Science University and is the author of around 100 peer-reviewed publications, as well as the book, The Science of Channeling, Why You Should Trust Your Intuition. Her study called That Mind was funded by the National Institutes of Health and examined the mechanisms of meditation for combat veterans with PTSD. Her current research interests include healing stress and trauma and extended human capabilities. She has been a board member and past president of the Parapsychological Association and has been practicing meditation for 2 decades. Helen A., so good to have you here.
It's so wonderful to be here with you, Dawson. I'm really excited to dive into these incredible topics with you.
I was thinking about how these incredible topics 20, 30 years ago were regarded as being so woo-woo, so out of the mainstream.
People
like us look weird. Now we're getting NIH grants.
I know. It's incredible, right? We've witnessed that change, how, you know, we were the renegades at the forefront, and now we're just riding this incredible wave of interest and research on these so important ideas that of this idea that we are more than what we think we are, more than this physical body, and that we can really tap into information and energy that goes beyond our five senses.
What happened in your life that first gave you an inkling that you were more than your physical body?
I was a very sensitive young child, and I would feel things that were beyond my five senses. Like, I would feel other people's emotions. I would walk into physical spaces and kind of get a sense of what had just been happening there without using my five senses. So that was kind of my first introduction to what I call the noetic signature, this experience of our intuitive wisdom. And also, when I was 10 years old, I actually went to my first seance at my grandparents' house. And I realize now that it was kind of in a spiritualist worldview, but they would have what they called meetings once a week, where my grandmother and my uncle would go into a trans-channeling state, and they believed that they were channeling non-physical beings and giving messages to these, you know, 30, 40 people who would sit in a circle in my grandparents' living room. So that worldview and my direct experiences really affected my personality, my experience of the world, and my kind of vision of what reality actually was beyond just the material.
So here you saw it being done by your grandparents. You saw it being witnessed by other people. When did you realize that that was me?
Yes.
That was you too.
Yes. Well, the way that, you know, so just to back up a little bit, the way I define channeling is really this broad definition of this ability that I think all humans have to access information and energy from beyond our conventional notions of time and space, and that can appear expressive or receptive. So that really covers a wide spectrum, from intuitive gut hunches to getting a sense of the future or knowing about distant locations, all the way up to mediumship and trance channeling, which is what I described that my grandmother and uncle did. So the way I describe channeling is really, you know, quite diverse. So the way I experienced it as a child was getting goosebumps when I felt things as truth, or, you know, getting some kind of mental images. And even when I started practicing as a clinician, I would get like complete downloads of information about my patients that I couldn't possibly know in any other way. So it wasn't until I started working at IONS and met a colleague who had developed a protocol for people to learn trance channeling. I tried that protocol and then learned how to trance channel as well. So I think I experienced diversity over my whole life, but it wasn't until my later life that I learned that specific type of channeling.
When you're trance channeling, are you aware of what's being said?
That is a wonderful question, because, you know, the term trance channeling leads you to believe that, well, the person's in a trance, and is now pretty clear that level of trance varies, that some people, like, you know, John of God and Jay-Z Knight, you know, were completely asleep when they did their trance channeling, and they wouldn't. And also Edgar Cayce, actually, you know, they called him the sleeping prophet. They had no memory of what was happening when they were in that trans-channeling state. Others, like myself, there is a level of consciousness and awareness of what is happening. The way I personally experience it is kind of like I'm stepping aside a little bit and I'm witnessing what is happening. And, you know, there's words coming out of my mouth that I have no idea what the next word is going to be.
It's interesting that when I get up to give a talk at a conference, I often prepare it. I've PowerPoints, I have slides, and yet I open my mouth and then I just check out. And this guy then steps in and gives this amazing speech. It's like I'm up there watching him and thinking, wow, that was awesome. So it is me, because I mean, you know, we hear that they're using our vocabulary there, you know, they're using English and they're using words and concepts we understand, but that's so interesting to get out of the way like that. And I think too, Helen, most people are in their own way, you know, they're stuck in their mind, they're stuck in their frame of reference, and they aren't easily able to take that witness perspective and get their investment in their own ego and their own reality picture out of things.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I get that question all the time, because when people first start engaging in this practice, you know, they're like, how can I tell if this is really my intuition giving me this information, or if it's my ego? And it's really challenging to discern that. And, you know, what I share is that, you know, if it's something that you're incredibly invested in, that you have an attachment to, it's much more difficult to get very clear intuitive hits about something that you are tied to the outcome about. And often when you begin this practice, it's easier to start with simple things that you really aren't attached to, and to learn how to get a binary yes or no. And instead of like, you know, what is the meaning of life, or, you know, should I divorce my spouse? You know, don't start with those major difficult questions, but to start with really simple things, and then you build your comfort level around when the information really is coming from an intuitive inner wisdom place versus when it's coming from our ego personality.
Let's turn that into a little exercise for our viewers and listeners right now. And so grab your journal or that piece of paper you're writing on or your device and write down this question. What would I like intuitive wisdom about right now? So what topic, what issue in your life would you like intuitive wisdom about right now? If you had access to the wisdom of the universe, the mind of the cosmos, and you could download that level of knowing, of information, but again, about something that, as Helene says, that you aren't personally invested in, that you're curious about, that you aren't, there's no emotional charge for you around this question. So what might you ask the universe? So again, she's recommending you not pick things like changing a job, buying a house, marrying, divorcing, all of those kinds of things in which you might be highly personally invested. Pick something you're not that invested in. And ask that question. What would the question be if you had access to the wisdom of the universe? And we'll see if in the next hour, who knows?
Who knows?
We're open to whatever might happen.
Beautiful. I love that. And I love this invitation that you've given to the audience. And I'll just build on that a little bit, because what we've seen in our research, we have this noetic signature research program where we asked, you know, thousands of people, like, how does this inner wisdom, this intuitive knowingness show up for you? And it really shows up in very diverse ways. We've identified 12 different characteristics on how it is expressed in different people. So, for example, I get goosebumps. So if someone says to me something that really resonates as truth, I'll get goosebumps on my body. And I thought everybody got that, but they really don't. That's just one type of expression of this intuitive gift. And that's how it shows up for me. It's called embodied sensations. So I feel it in my body, but someone else may not. They may actually hear words in their mind, or they may see colors, or they may feel like a contraction in their body when something's a no, and an expansion when something's a yes. So I want to just invite the audience to understand that our intuitive knowledge is, in the way it shows up, is unique to us. And so what's the way that it shows up for you? And to be in a space of openness and curiosity to begin exploring that. knowing that your way is not better or worse than anybody else's way. It's just a beautiful, unique expression of you. And then once you have that opening and you notice it, you can begin nurturing that and paying attention. Oh, there's that contraction in my belly again. Maybe that's some information I'm getting to not go down that path. Or, oh, I'm getting this image in my mind. Maybe that's how I'm receiving this intuitive wisdom.
So images, physical sensations, what are the other 10 ways of, potentially ways of knowing?
So there is healing. There is connecting with supposed non-physical beings. There is embodied sensations. So what I described, like the heat or cold or goosebumps. There is actually receiving physical sensations from other people. So if, you know, say your friend has a headache and you're meeting them for coffee and you felt totally fine. You meet them for coffee and all of a sudden you have a headache. And you're like, I don't understand why I have a headache. But your friend shares that they had one. So some people actually pick up on the physical sensations of others. Then there's probably the most common, which is, I just know this is true. I just know it. And you don't have any logical reason why, but you just know it's true. And then a variation of that is, I just feel it. I just feel that this is true. Again, without any logical awareness about that. Then there's also visualization. So a lot of people might get it visually. Some people receive it through hearing, or what's called clairaudience. They might hear words in their mind. And I know I've missed some, but I think that gives a nice broad overview of many of those characteristics. And the audience can certainly go to our website and learn a lot more about that. We've developed an inventory where people can actually take a questionnaire and then see what their noetic signature is.
Go ahead and do that. That's noetic.org. Helen, I'll just share with you one of the wildest ones I ever heard. I was leading a meditation workshop and I was trying to engage in all five senses and all these possibilities of knowing. And for one of the men there, his connection with his higher self and his higher wisdom came through taste. And he would taste salt water from the ocean in his mouth. That was his, I'm getting chills. I'm getting goosebumps now. Maybe yeah. It's one of mine as I say this, but yeah, you would get these sensations of the, like the, you can be near the ocean and you can literally taste the spray on your palate. And that was a sign that he was in touch with his higher power. It came as a complete surprise to him. He was blown away by that. So do go on the noetic.org website, take your test and see which of those styles is your natural one. And who knows, just by doing the test, you might open yourself up to a whole new range of possibilities. We're going to go to a break right now. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. My guest is Helen A. Waber. Her book, which you can pick up, which is fascinating, is The Science of Channeling, and the website is noetic.org. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. I'm so glad you're here and nurturing your mind, your heart, your body by being part of this wonderful community. I also want to encourage you to check out my new book. It's called Spiritual Intelligence. And you can download the first two chapters free at spiritualintelligencebook.com. Spiritualintelligencebook.com. Don't forget the book. So add the word book at the end of Spiritual Intelligence. Book.com, get those first two chapters free. They are going to show you that you have the ability to connect with this world of consciousness greater than our own individual consciousness, and how that's the definition of spiritual intelligence, the ability of human individual consciousness to become one with to cosmic, non-local, universal consciousness. You have that ability. It's hardwired into your brain. The Spiritual Intelligence book will show you how. So go ahead and download those two chapters at spiritualintelligencebook.com. And for more about Helene and her work, go to noetic.org. Helene, one of the striking things is the number of times we see these patterns running in families. Like, for example, I worked on an anthology in the 1980s on famous psychic healers, and there was one called Oleg Krivoritov in Moscow, and his son Viktor Krivoritov became a psychic healer, and the grandfather was a psychic healer, and this had been running in their family for generations. What do you find about that?
Yes, that's very true anecdotally. There are so many instances of people experiencing family members having the same type of channeling experiences. Despite it being commonly understood anecdotally, there really haven't been that many formal studies done exploring that. There were two studies done in the UK. One was a survey looking at second sight, this sort of premonition of knowing the future. And they did, in fact, find that it ran in families through this survey. The same researcher went on to do a pedigree analysis where they found that the second sight ran in families and also had an autosomal dominant transmission, which is really quite fascinating. Since then, our group has done a number of survey studies asking the same question about running in families. And it's at about 50% of people who say, yes, my channeling experiences, my family members also have the same channeling experiences. And we did one case control study where we actually got the full genome, really excellent psychics, compared to age, gender, and race matched controls. And we found a very unique portion, a non-coding portion of chromosome 7 that was in the wild type or the original form in psychics, but was in a mutated form in the controls. So this is a really small study, but we did some follow-up analyses looking at the relationship between this expression and Christianity, because of course we all know in our history, people who express these traits were persecuted and killed, unfortunately, and there was a significant relationship between this wild type version on chromosome 7. And so what does that mean? It means that the original form of the gene expressed the psychic abilities, but there was pressure to move away from the expression of the psychic abilities. So to me, this supports this notion that we all have this innate capacity to tap into this information that goes beyond our traditional five senses. And perhaps there were pressures, whether it was socially or environmentally, or now, you know, we don't need to intuit where the buffalo are because we use our GPS. It's like perhaps a muscle that isn't being used as much. So there's still a lot more to explore about the genetic aspect of it. But my hypothesis right now is that we all have this innate capacity to access this intuitive wisdom, but that we may have a propensity to be stronger at certain types. And, you know, I give this example all the time. So I'm 5'2". I can take a basketball and dribble and shoot a basket just fine, but I'm never going to be a professional basketball player just because that's just how I am. So I may be, you know, stronger at certain types of intuitive skills and not as good as others. So I think that that familial piece may have to do with which type we may excel at. But we have a lot more work to really formally study that.
But it's an amazing reflection that these kinds of abilities may actually have to do with certain genetic characteristics, and that evolution comes into play, and then cultural conditioning might also be modifying some of these epigenetically. So it's a thread of research that I hope gets followed up in the future, because we are certainly finding that meditators have remarkable shifts in gene expression. And of course, that can show up in the form of increased longevity and better general health. So all of these things go together. I know another study that you did with Cassie Beaton, published in 2019, showed that meditators also have heightened levels of psychic ability. Go ahead and share that. That was just a stunning study. And share the results of that study with us.
Yes, that was with about 1,300 meditators from around the world. And we asked them a variety of different questions about their meditative experiences. And there were a set of questions that did ask about these more esoteric phenomenon. For example, having a telepathic connection with people. And often they mention their teacher, or having experiences of oneness, or being visited by a non-physical being. And more than half of them had those experiences. So it's definitely, you know, sometimes people will brush these phenomena aside and say, oh, it's impossible, it's not that common, these are rare experiences. But actually, they're so incredibly common. It's just that people aren't talking about them. When I first started at IONS, people would always come up to me and say, thank you so much, I had this experience, but I haven't told anybody about it. And, you know, each person in line, this was when it was in person, would say the same thing. Thank you so much, I had this experience, but I haven't told anybody about it. And so I feel like the last, you know, 5 years has seen an explosion of people being able to speak about these types of experiences more openly, which allows us to then discover more about how they're expressed and, you know, create more studies to look at these genetic, epigenetic pieces.
Yeah, Father Andrew Greeley was a Catholic priest, a researcher, and a novelist, and he did the earliest study of that in the 1970s, and he found exactly the same thing, that many people were having what were called anomalous experiences. They're called anomalous, which of course is odd because they are common, and he found, though, the same thing, that people did not talk to them about them to their priests, their ministers, their parents, their children, their friends. There was no cultural context for sharing them. So I want to turn this into a little exercise for those who are watching and listening. And I want you to make a note in your journal and ask yourself this question. What experiences like this did I have as a child that I didn't share with anyone? Which experiences in this category did I have when I was young that I didn't share with anyone? And just write that note to yourself now, then explore that later on. And again, you're probably going to find that back along the way, you were having these experiences. They may not have been ones you could pigeonhole or share or figure out given the logic of current society or the place and family you found yourself in. But if you look back along your history, you're likely to find they're there. Another study found that children tend to have, young children, like 3, 4, 5, tend to have mystical experiences. They don't have any language to express them in, so they get missed by adults. So the likelihood is you were one of those. And so I want you to write that question down and ponder that question, start to list those experiences. When you start to do, you might discover there are quite a few of them. Yeah, powerful to do that. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. We'll be right back after a break.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. I'm so glad you're here and nurturing your mind, your heart, your body by being part of this wonderful community. I also want to encourage you to check out my new book. It's called Spiritual Intelligence, and you can download the first two chapters free at spiritualintelligencebook.com, spiritualintelligencebook.com. Don't forget the book. So add the word book at the end of spiritualintelligencebook.com. Get those first two chapters free. They are going to show you that you have the ability to connect with this world of consciousness greater than our own individual consciousness, and how that's the definition of spiritual intelligence, the ability of human individual consciousness to become one with to cosmic, non-local, universal consciousness. You have that ability. It's hardwired into your brain. The Spiritual Intelligence book will show you how. So go ahead and download those two chapters at spiritualintelligencebook.com. And for more about Helene and her work, go to noetic.org. Where do we go from next in terms of developing these abilities? We discover we have them. We start to recognize the way we're getting intuitive nudges. We're meditating. We're getting more of them. What do we do next?
That's a wonderful question. And I think it's all about attitude, really. And, you know, with many meditative practices, we're invited to bring an attitude of openness and curiosity with our experience. And so bringing those same attitudes to our expression of these intuitive gifts. So what's fascinating, when you look at the predictors for who has these experiences more often, belief is the strongest predictor. Belief that they can happen, that they actually exist, and belief that you can experience them yourselves. So that's really fascinating. And the second is actually being a meditator. That's the second strongest predictor for having these experiences. And so if we can cultivate an attitude of openness and curiosity, of this idea that my expression of these intuitive gifts is unique and that I can value it, I can nurture it, I can explore it, I can use it to support myself and my daily life, to be more discerning, to make decisions more easily that are aligned with my highest and best. And some people are happy to stop there. And when they embark on that, their life becomes more easeful. They have improved quality of life. Their health generally improves. And then their friends and family are like, hey, what are you doing? Like, I want to know what that's all about. And then, you know, some people are called to take it even further, where they get more training. They want to then offer it or teach it to other people. And, you know, some people are called to take it even further in that way. But even just that place of acknowledging it for yourself, nurturing that intuitive capacity, honoring it, valuing it, and using it in your life is just a huge benefit.
Like any capability, the more we use it, the more it develops. So as you start to exercise that capability, then you find it grows and it becomes part of your life and it strengthens. How have you found that happening for you? Have you found a notable progression in your life of these capabilities strengthening as you've used them personally?
Yes, most definitely. And, you know, one of the most common questions I get in my classes talking about this is, well, how do know if the information I'm getting is from my ego or if it's from my higher self? And over time for me, it has become so much clearer when my ego personality is kind of butting in and saying, no, I really want this outcome, so let's do that. It's like, okay, I can feel, because I get my intuition in my body, I can feel the difference between that ego trying to impinge its will on me versus a true intuitive hit. Because sometimes the intuitive information is something that I totally had not thought of or was very different than what my mind thought should be the solution. So now it is a daily practice for me. It's integrated into my life. This, even if it's just for a few seconds to just pause, and I call it tune in. I just tune in, and it's sort of an inward turning that helps guide me with every step of my day, really.
So here's another little exercise for you. Like Helen A., is there a moment in your day when you can cue yourself to pause and tune in? Think about your day and write down this question. Is there a time in my day when I can cue myself, remind myself to pause and tune in? And that might be, for example, when you get up in the morning, first thing. In fact, I strongly recommend you do tune in first thing every morning and frame your day with that reality. So that's one possible time for you. A way might be when you get in your car to go drive to work or drive wherever you go, and you can just sit there for a moment and have that moment of tuning in. I strongly recommend also you do it before you eat anything at mealtime, because research shows that our intentions literally affect the molecular structure of water. And our food is mostly water, our bodies are mostly water, and so you just using before you eat as that mindful moment can make a difference. So write down now one or more times during your day when, like Helen A., you can pause, breathe, and tune in. Make a note to yourself, write that down, and then be prepared to then carry that practice into the rest of your life. That's, again, making these ideas concrete in your life. And as you've written that down in your journal, or on a piece of paper, or on your device, you then are turning these ideas into an actionable plan that can make a real difference in your life. You never know when that mindful moment and that sequence of mindful moments is going to become more than a habit. It's going to become a reliable way of keeping your entire day on track. Helen, I love that example. And is there any one instance in your life when this made a big difference, say, to a decision you're about to make?
Many, many, many times, many times. And let me think of a good one. I've made, you know, a number of different moves, like moving household, you know. And we were living in California at the time, and my husband really wanted to move out of California. And we kept tuning in, and, you know, we would do it together and individually. And it's like, nope, it's not time yet. And, you know, we'd go about our days, and then we would check in, and we'd, nope, it's still not time yet. And that continued for a number of months. And so his ego mind was like, I want to move now. And it's like, it's not time yet. And so there was one day that came when we did our tune in, and it was like, yeah, now it's time. And then everything just unfolded with great ease for the next place that we were going to be moving to. So that's kind of a simple worldly example there.
It's so funny, because I had the same experience with my wife and the house we eventually bought. And I wanted to live on top of a mountain with 360-degree views. And that's just what I wanted. And that was my view of things. That was just my, you know, I just loved being able to look out over the hills and see the beauty of the surrounding areas. And so that was my vision. Hers was to live in a tract home in the suburbs, where you're close to your neighbors on a regular street. And now these are two mutually exclusive things. You can get either one or the other, but not both. And so our solution was to sit with that. Actually, several years, we looked at different houses. We looked at some houses that were on mountaintops. We looked at some houses that were in a development. And we just were open to the possibilities. Eventually, it looked like my wife won, because we bought a home in a development, and so we have a nice yard, nice garden, but it isn't a development, but it has a gate in the back that leads out to a 200-acre nature preserve, where I can ride my bike or take a walk up right from my backyard and be on top of a hill and see all this beauty around me. And Helen, we also discovered something about hilltop homes. We discovered they're very windy. On top of a hill, you stand up there and the wind just rushes past you, and it's chilly there because of these cold coastal winds rushing in. And we found that our little home, our little lot was in a wind bowl. And now we can just spend the whole summer outdoors because we're shielded from the wind by having houses around us. So it's so interesting how when you, even if you think you have totally irreconcilable differences like that, you can still both find something that serves you both. So it's so powerful to open yourself to these possibilities. You may find a third thing happening, a synthesis that is a higher possibility than either of the either ors that yes. you thought you were faced with before.
Yes. That's a beautiful example because, you know, probably your mind wouldn't have come up with that. It's like, oh, because the human mind's like, well, how can you have both at the same time? Because they're so, so exclusive. That's a wonderful example.
You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Everyone knows that losing weight fast is dangerous. In fact, the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control recommends losing no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. But is that true? Startling new research shows that people who lose weight rapidly often have better long-term results. Now, award-winning researcher Dr. Dawson Church and registered dietitian Karen Donaldson team up to review all the evidence at 10poundsaweek.com. Download their free report at 10poundsaweek.com. That's 10poundsaweek.com. Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. I'm so glad you're here and nurturing your mind, your heart, your body by being part of this wonderful community. I also want to encourage you to check out my new book. It's called Spiritual Intelligence. And you can download the first two chapters free at spiritualintelligencebook.com. Spiritualintelligencebook.com. Don't forget the book. So add the word book at the end of spiritualintelligencebook.com. Get those first two chapters free. They are going to show you that you have the ability to connect with this world of consciousness greater than our own individual consciousness, and how that's the definition of spiritual intelligence, the ability of human individual consciousness to become one with to cosmic, non-local, universal consciousness. You have that ability. It's hardwired into your brain. The Spiritual Intelligence book will show you how. So go ahead and download those two chapters at spiritualintelligencebook.com. And for more about Helene and her work, go to noetic.org. And so as we're ending our time together today, what are some of the other things people can do to really shift their lives in these positive directions? What are some of the concrete steps you would recommend that we take to move ourselves into the state of being one with the universe, connecting with it every day, hearing those intuitive messages, applying them in our lives, forgiving ourselves when we don't, and moving forward?
Yes, absolutely. I think the first step is intention. Setting the intention that you want to cultivate this aspect of yourself. And if you don't already have a meditation practice, I would invite you to begin one, even if it's just for 2 minutes a day. When I worked with combat veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, they couldn't sit for 20, 30 minutes, an hour a day. We had to just start with little micro doses of that meditation practice. And you can even begin with a very simple intuitive exercise where you ask a question that has a yes, no answer, and then pay attention to how the information comes to you. Do you feel a shift in your body? Do you hear something in your mind? Do you see a visual? Start exploring what your unique intuitive expression looks like. And then the more you practice that, the more trusting you are, the information you receive, the more comfortable you feel with it, and the path just unfolds from there.
Yes, and again, as you practice these things, they tend to become stronger and stronger and stronger. And then as you are moving in your research career and personally, what is your next big focus, and what's drawing you in terms of research questions in your personal life, and where is destiny taking you next?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So my interest right now, I'm still very interested in studying channeling and excited about supporting people to understand the different aspects of that, how it works, how we can use it, how it affects us, and especially around the idea of trans channeling, because I have that experience and family experience with it. But intersecting with this big topic in our world today of UAPs, or, you know, unidentified anomalous phenomenon, there are many trans channelers who believe that the source of their information is actually an extraterrestrial intelligence. So I know this is pretty far out there for many people, but I want to connect with those trans channelers and discover what is the content that they're receiving from these ETIs. We're currently gathering all of as much content as we can that's already available. And we've partnered with a UAP researcher who actually has a database from what's called the nuts and bolts of UAP, like the materials and the military documents, etc. And we're going to query both those sets of data. So what are the trans channelers bringing through about this content of UAPs compared to what the military and physicalist sources bring through? And do they compare? Are they the same? Are they different? Are they something in between? So that's a project that I'm working on right now that's really exciting to me, because if you think about consciousness and physicalist idea that, you know, we're these separate beings versus this broad, non-local, pervasive consciousness and this interconnectedness with all things, then that expands beyond even our world. And so what does that look like? What is the reality of that? And how can we explore that in a formal scientific way?
Well, a century ago, the big question was, is there a second galaxy in the universe? And Edwin Hubble, of course, a century ago, answered the question. He found there were not just one galaxy, the Milky Way, our galaxy. It was so exciting. The big scientific discovery a century ago was there were two. Now there are billions with a B. And there are billions of galaxies, some of them with thousands of suns or even millions of suns, and trillions of planets, and it's almost inconceivable that life hasn't evolved on many of those. And so it's now gone from this pretty far-fetched idea that there's other life in the universe to it's pretty far-fetched to posit that there isn't. So how do we make contact with that? What role does this ability to tune our senses to that, those altered sources of knowing have to making those connections? And also, I think the fact that we're getting comfortable with being in this connected universe and realizing that we can reach out in that way and start to have contact in those channels of consciousness that aren't necessarily channels that we know from physical form. We're not necessarily looking for radio waves or travel at the speed of light. When we know from quantum entanglement, we see phenomena that are happening instantaneously. And of course, consciousness is instantaneous as well. So I also can't wait to see what kinds of answers emerge from that inquiry you have. And I agree, it's fascinating. And I mean, I have to say, I've gone from being a skeptic in that regard to being, it's impossible that there would not be others, perhaps millions of others of life forms that with whom we can share our awareness, our consciousness, this ability to connect in our shared mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, psychic space. So I'm so glad you're doing that. Thank you so much for your energy as well. You have such wonderful energy. When I meet you in person, when I see you, or when I chat with you, I feel so blessed. So thank you for sharing this. Thanks for your work. And may those hunches, intuitions, and experiments just keep flowing. Thanks so much, Eleni.
Thank you so much, Dawson. Pleasure.
Every blessing. And thanks for joining us. We will see you again on the next episode. It's been a pleasure to connect with you. Hopefully we've given you a lot to think about. If you're an ET, make sure you email me and I'll forward it to Helen A and we'll loop you in. Bye till then.
Epigenetics is the most exciting new field in science. It's the study of influences that turn your genes on and off. Epigenetics is a breakthrough in health and longevity, and you can learn all about it from two of the world's foremost experts. Dr. Bruce Lipton is the author of The Biology of Belief, and Dr. Dawson Church wrote The Genie in Your Genes. In a free presentation at ConsciousGene.com, they show how to apply epigenetics to boost your health, happiness, and energy levels naturally. Visit ConsciousGene.com. That's ConsciousGene.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.